Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Massachusetts loves the lottery. A lot. Mega Millions, Powerball, all those scratch cards, and Keno. We have the highest per capita spending on the lottery in the country. And last year, in 2012, the state lottery raked in almost $1 billion in net profit.
And yet, some state officials say there's an imminent threat to the Massachusetts lottery. The threat is internet gambling. State Treasurer Steve Grossman wants to beat both the federal government and private gambling companies to the punch. He plans to ask the legislature to change state law so that the Massachusetts lottery can go online.
That would mean you could buy those Mega Millions, Powerball, and scratch tickets from your home or your smartphone with your credit card at almost any time. So is this a good idea? A lucrative new revenue source for the state? Or could it cause an increase in gambling addiction? We're going to look into those questions with the Treasurer for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, Stephen Grossman, who joins us now in the studio. Welcome back to the show, Treasurer Grossman.
Meghna, thanks for having me.
So first of all, why don't you describe to us briefly, you know, why it is, you know, in your own, from your own perspective, this already incredibly successful lottery you think needs to go online?
Well, this all started in December of 2011. I remember I was leaving for the Christmas holidays, and a colleague of mine says, you better take your coat off. I looked at the computer screen, and the Justice Department had just issued a ruling. And the ruling said that henceforth, state lotteries can do something they've never been able to do before. This is all state lotteries. They can sell lottery products online to in-state adults using credit cards. Never been permitted before.
This is because the DOJ basically reassessed the 1961 Federal Wire Act that had prohibited all such activities until
then. And they said that anything is now permissible except for sports betting. That was still not permitted. So we took a look at that and said, we better do what any successful business does. Remember, this is a $4.75 billion business that, as you said, generated almost $1 billion in profits last year. It is the single most important source of unrestricted local aid for every city and town in Massachusetts. So as a business person, as a strategic person, I said, we better study this. And we put together an online products task force with no conclusions in advance. We studied it. We looked at different models in Europe, Canada, other models, none in the United States because nobody could do it before. And we determined several things. First of all, that the threat of the internet was imminent. If we didn't take into account the impact that the internet will have on everyone's life, including the lives of people who play the lottery, the propensity now for people to go online and use mobile apps for virtually everything that they do, if we didn't take this seriously, we'd be making a mistake.
Well, let me ask you right there, though. Can you describe to me specifically how you think the internet would have an impact on the lottery here in Massachusetts if you didn't go online?
Because eventually, something is going to happen. Senator Harry Reid, the majority leader, has already proposed that there be federal legislation to allow online poker. He wants Nevada interests, Nevada gaming companies, to control it. I don't think that's appropriate. Why give one state the advantage? But the point is, anywhere you look, Illinois, New York, other states, Maryland, are looking at different ways to go online, and they're testing it out to try to think of what would be a profitable business model. So we said, we don't know when the impact of the internet will take over our lives, when it will have an impact on the lottery profits, when bricks and mortar casinos will be allowed to get into the business of internet gaming, and that's obviously a possibility. But we said, if we don't study it, do nothing is not a strategy. Do nothing has never been a strategy for any business that wants to survive and flourish. So we put together the task force.
And the task force has recently come out with some conclusions. What's the most important one or two conclusions?
Well, the most important conclusion is that we better study this carefully. We don't even have the legal right to study online gaming. Unless the legislature changes the laws of Massachusetts to allow us to even study it, we can't even do that. So what I'm asking the legislature to do this year is to change state law to allow us to test out internet products. I'm not asking for one penny of taxpayers' money to be invested in this. Why? Because I don't want to spend taxpayers' money until and unless there's something profitable here. And there are two huge concerns I have. The biggest concerns I have are, number one, why has the lottery been successful over the years? Because we have 7,400 retailers all over the state. They've been loyal partners. They sell lottery products on virtually every street corner. You could argue or not as to whether or not that's good, but that's the reality.
They don't like this idea of you going online, though, because
they don't want
to lose the foot traffic or the revenue that comes from people who, you know, buy a Hershey bar along with their Powerball ticket.
And the point is that we have to include the 7,400 retailers as our partners in this effort. We cannot take, on average, what is $37,000 of profit that each of these retailers earns. That's a tens of thousands of terrific jobs in the small business sector of the economy. So I want to make sure that the lottery sales agents, the 7,400 retailers, are part of the decision-making process and are our partners, and I can explain to you how to make them our partners. And number two, I'm vitally concerned about what this might do to what I would call problem gaming, excessive gaming, excessive gambling, which is already a problem in our society, and we know it's a problem. How do we make sure that people don't sit at home maxing out their credit cards, undermining their financial health and well-being by going overboard using credit cards online? And there are ways in which we can mitigate that, and there are ways in which we can limit that, and I can tell you what those are as well.
Well, we'll get to those in just a couple minutes, but first I wanted to throw some questions open to listeners. Listeners, when you hear Treasurer Steve Grossman talk about possibly putting the Massachusetts lottery online, what do you make of that? Do you think it's a good idea? When everyone has a smartphone in their pocket and games at their disposal, why not put this form of state-sanctioned gambling online? Or are you concerned that if online lotteries came to Massachusetts, would there be the possibility of gambling at home, at work, in your pocket, on your phone? Is that the kind of business Massachusetts should be in? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also comment online at radioboston.org. Once again, I'm joined today by Stephen Grossman. He is the treasurer for the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. Now I'd like to invite in Alexandra Berzon. She's a Wall Street Journal reporter. She covers the casino and hotel industries, and she's been on this story in a lot of detail and can bring us up to speed on what some of the other states that Treasurer Grossman mentioned have been doing so far. Alexandra Berzon, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thanks so much.
It's great to have you. So first of all, Treasurer Grossman mentioned Illinois. And if I understand correctly, March of last year, Illinois was the first state in the country to put their lottery online. So if you go to illinoislottery.com, you can register to play online. Well, what exactly do people do? What information do they give the state in order to play the lottery online in Illinois?
You know, one of the things that Illinois found actually when they were started this was that they were requiring for folks to give their social security numbers at one point, and a lot of people were rejecting that. So in fact, there's a lot of issues just in the technicality of how you go about doing something like this. But it's right, that's right. Illinois was the first to sell individual tickets to draws. In fact, there was a really quiet thing that happened where a number of, I think, New Hampshire, Minnesota, a couple of states for many years now actually have been doing subscription draws, really kind of away from a lot of the public eye on, and it's sort of been a very quiet thing online. So there has actually been a little bit of lottery sales online for a number of years, but it was the Justice Department decision, as the Treasurer mentioned, that really led lotteries to kind of a lot more of them to really think about, okay, we need to have a strategy now, what are we going to do? And many in the last year have started to really get going on coming up with stuff. Illinois was the first to actually start selling the individual lottery tickets. They now have recently started selling them also mobily.
Right.
So that will be an interesting experiment. So far it's been quite, it really hasn't taken off in a big way, but I think they're planning, last I had spoken to their director, they were planning to do kind of a bigger marketing push. But it's still very unclear how all this is going to play out.
Well,
Delaware,
Alexandra, before we go to Delaware, the reason why I wanted to bring up Illinois is because, you know, initially, and I understand that their rules might have changed, but there's this issue of limiting the people who can play online to those people who live in the state, right? Because you can't engage in interstate commerce regarding gambling at all. So they were asking for all sorts of information to be sure people were older than 18 and residents of Illinois. But I also noted that they said that they limited play to $100 per day because people could use their credit cards. Now, the reason why I'm asking you about that is per capita spending on the lottery in Massachusetts is about just over $700 a year per capita in Massachusetts. It's number one in the country. But I'm thinking $100 per day on my credit card in Illinois in 7 days, you know, I've already reached $700. Did they put any limit to sort of total annual spending?
I'm not aware that they have. You know, I think that's definitely something, as the treasurer mentioned, that the states are going to have to look at lotteries. With, you know, I think Massachusetts has done this more than most. Many lotteries in the country do not actually have a lot of money or support for problem gambling, just typically even less so than casinos, in fact, in many ways, in terms of the funds that typically go to dealing with gambling addiction. So that may be something that they're going to want to look at as they add internet gambling. You know, because I don't think that they really tend to have that be a big part of the concern. But I think it will be more so in this in this area, because I think there are people who are uncomfortable with the idea of people just like having it be that accessible, even more so than going out to a convenience store, I suppose.
Let me give you a model of an approach. I'm not suggesting that this is the approach, but it is certainly an approach that might be appropriate. So you have these 7,400 retailers, and the retailer makes 5% of every sale, and then they make another 1% for winnings that are cashed in. So that's the $37,000 on average that each retailer makes, and that's a big deal, part of their economic model. You could require people, instead of being able to use credit cards at home and maxing out credit cards with all the problems that we've just talked about, you could require people to go into a lottery agent, essentially fill up a card like a Starbucks card, a Dunkin' Donuts card, or let's call it an electronic wallet. You could limit the amount of money that somebody could fill up their card with to $100 at each session or per time. Then the lottery agent, the retailer, would make 5% on that $100 sale. You could then take that card, use it online to play. You'd have to go back and fill it up again. I understand that may be inconvenient for people who want to do everything online and never want to go back to the retailer. So you preserve the traffic into the agent, the retailer. You limit the amount of money that they can spend. You allow them to play online. You continue to preserve the $300 million of income that these agents collectively receive so that they prosper. The individual is limited. Mm. They still get to play online, and it's a win-win-win strategy. I'm saying that that is a model that's been proposed in states like Maryland, not yet been implemented, but it does deal with some, it mitigates some of the problem gaming issues that we have been talking about.
Alexander Berzon, I've also read that the lottery could potentially in Massachusetts be just the beginning, that maybe the state might experiment with pilot programs with fantasy sports game, fantasy football, things like that, and possibly even eventually move into online poker. And the reason why I wanted to ask you about this is because you had mentioned Delaware, and Delaware is one state that has allowed comprehensive online gaming, blackjack, even slot machine games, all online. My question for you, Alexander, is the number one reason why people say we need this is, you know, we being the collective we, is, as Treasurer Grossman said, you know, to protect revenue streams or possibly even develop new revenue streams for cash-strapped states. So has that happened, for example, in Delaware, where they're sort of pushing the envelope more than anywhere else?
Yeah, I think the issue is once you start to get lotteries, once a lottery starts to go online, there starts to become a pretty fine line between what is kind of slot machine, similar to slot machine gambling, and what is a lottery. When you just are selling tickets to a draw, that's clearly a traditional lottery. When you start to have instant scratch-off and you put it online, you can start to make that pretty something pretty similar to other types of gambling. So it starts to get so what Delaware's done is said, okay, we're just going to go, the lottery itself is basically spearheading this for much more comprehensive online gambling platform, but they're doing it with the casinos, and they're actually called racinos, where they're like racetracks with slot machines in the state. And so it's kind of a partnership model that some other states, Illinois has looked at something similar as well to expand to a more comprehensive online gambling. And part of that is also that if you're trying to avoid this run-in that the treasurer was mentioning with the convenience store folks who sell lottery tickets, one way you might do that is say, okay, well, we're going to take this other strategy and do games like blackjack and slots and things that actually people aren't playing from the convenience store. So that's one thing that that a number of states are looking at to kind of, in some ways, it would avoid that confrontation. But then you are also have more an issue with your if you have commercial casino gambling or Indian casino gambling in the state, you might have some opposition from those.
Which in Massachusetts we just might have because they are on their way. But I want to get some callers in here. Metin is calling from Brookline. You're on the air, Metin.
Hi, thanks so much for taking my call.
What's your thought today?
My question is for the treasurer specifically. He had mentioned earlier a card system, but other than that, I was just wondering what other programs were being considered help enforce the legal age requirement of 18 to buy a lottery ticket, because that could be a major problem with gambling addiction if that were to spread online and become very easily accessible.
Well, it's a good question, and clearly we have been able over the years, because people have to actually show up at one of the 7,400 retailers and they buy a scratch ticket, and if there's any question about their age, they have to identify themselves or demonstrate that they're 18 years old and over. And we need to make sure that we have a mechanism in place whereby people who want to play online have to be 18 or older in order to play. The idea of going into a retailer, buying a card, whatever that card is called, fill it up with $100 of credit from your credit card, but limited the amount of money, you'd still have to demonstrate that you're 18 in order to even fill up the card. So we're very concerned about underage gaming or gambling, and we want to make sure we protect ourselves against that at every turn. And there are ways that that has been done.
But Treasurer Grossman, if I may jump in here, I've also read that you've said that part of the impetus behind this is because you want to, bring in a younger, new generation of lottery players. Right.
And, sure.
And so eventually, not to say that we're talking about people under 18, but, you know, when everyone, if you're looking to maybe eventually form a Massachusetts lottery app for people's smartphones, I mean, how is it really that you're going to protect 15-year-olds who've got it?
Well, again, you have to be able to pay for your privilege of playing a lottery game on your mobile app in order to do it. And if the only way in which you've been able to get credit to play it is to use your card, and that card was only sold to you because you showed an identification that you're 18 or more, then we protect ourselves against that. It is true that most lottery players, you can't generalize, but generally it's a somewhat older middle-aged demographic. So if you really want people who are in their 20s and early 30s who are wired in every way that they are now and that are doing so much of their business as well as their entertainment on mobile apps, then you have to at least experiment with tools and devices that will allow people to play in a way that is consistent with their lifestyles, but still not allow them to do excessive gaming or gambling, which creates the other problems that we talked about earlier.
Let's go to Hamilton, where Arlene is calling. You're on the air, Arlene.
Yes, hi. Thank you very much for taking my call. I'm calling more with a comment rather than a question. And having been raised by a father who was a compulsive gambler, you know, it gives me a very visceral response with the idea of now online gaming. I think it's going to open up a lot more problems, and I think it would be very hard to control it. I think, you know, and the idea of bringing more young people into gambling is absurd to me because I have such a strong response about gambling. I think gambling for people who can control themselves is fine. I'm not a gambler, but if I go on a cruise, I'll go into the casino and gamble a little bit. But I don't go to the store and buy tickets. I wouldn't do it online, but I'd worry about my adult children who might all of a sudden you can now gamble online. How great is that? And I just think it's all about money making, and I give a very negative response about it.
Arlene, thank you so much for your call. Treasurer Grossman, I promise I'll let you respond to that in just a moment, but Arlene gives us a good way to bring in another guest briefly into the conversation, and that is Kimberly Young. She's a psychologist and founder and director of the Center for Internet Addiction at netaddiction.com. She joins us from Pennsylvania today. Kimberly Young, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
So you've heard this large conversation that we've had with Treasurer Grossman and Alexandra Berzon about this direction that Massachusetts and other states are moving to put lottery games, for example, online. I mean, we don't have a ton of time, but just briefly, I'm just wondering what your perspective is, having studied internet addiction and gambling in particular. Like, is this cause for concern for you, or are there measures such as Treasurer Grossman has talked about that can be put in so that it's not so worrying as our callers are saying it might be?
Well, I think I can understand the positive attributes of trying to go online. A lot of states are. A lot of, just in general, applications are being developed online that might have ramifications in terms of how our behavior is going to be affected. One of the more significant trends that does get brought up often when you talk about online gambling addiction is teens and those under 18 that are now being able to access something that in real life they can't because there are so many other controls, whether it's lotteries, casinos. There's somebody physically there. I think it's a good idea to have these protections in place. I think only time will tell how foolproof they're going to be to prevent somebody that really is underage from accessing, a card. You know, somebody illegal can get the card and then give it to somebody younger. I mean, so you could be potentially giving something that's very harmful out. But I can understand the need to want to be mobile and to gain access to smartphone technology in this way because that is the future, and so many other businesses are doing it. But
when it comes to addiction, though, if I might ask, though, when it comes to addiction and gambling addiction, is there something different about it being online? I mean, we've had lots of discussions in Massachusetts about gambling addiction because we had a years-long fight over casinos. But we're talking about online gaming here. Is there something different about that?
To the extent that, yes, I mean, you're not dealing with, like, the chips at a casino. You're dealing with sort of electronically. People can just, ring up credit cards. A lot of times they don't see that as real money until they get the bill. So what happens is cognitively you're sort of not thinking about the losses. Not that you always are in a physical casino, but you're not, it's even less so. It's kind of out in the ethernet. But then the other thing is that gambling in general has so many other connotations, too, with online gaming. You have sports sites and you have sort of intra-game betting. So instead of just watching the outcome of, say, a football game, you can look at play-by-play and make bets and gamble. So you have, it's accelerated in a very different way when you look at real life versus online. Online has so many other opportunities to get hooked.
Let me bring Treasurer Grossman back in here. Mr. Grossman, for example, I read that a professor at the University of Illinois, John Kent, he spoke to NPR when Illinois put its lottery online. Mm-hmm. And he actually reflected a very visceral response that one of our callers just shared with us. And he said, quote, "This will put gambling in every living room, at every work desk, at every school desk. People will literally be able to click their mouse and lose their house." How do you address that level of concern people have?
Well, first of all, gambling is everywhere. In a lot of cases, it's absolutely illegal. Whether it's football pools or offshore poker, which is being played by tens of millions of people, and I'm not certain that people who are under 18 are legitimately protected from their ability to play those because they're offshore and they're unregulated, even though they're illegal. So there are two things I would say kind of in conclusion on this topic. Number one, we need to put strict limits on the amount of money that people are able to spend at any one time so that we at least help them if they can't help themselves. And number two, I will not, as the chairman of the Mass State Lottery, which is the most successful lottery in the United States, I won't go down this road unless we do two things. Number one, protect ourselves as best we can against excessive gaming or problem gaming or gambling addiction. And I think there are ways to do that, none foolproof, but still legitimate ways in which we can do that. And number two, I will not do it unless we can protect and make the 7,400 lottery agents who create tens of thousands of jobs, in many cases have been around for two or three generations, our partners. This is not meant to create adversaries. This is meant to create partners. But those are two kind of ironclad principles. And as we begin this analysis, this testing, which is all we're doing right now, is testing it. I know that's a slippery slope. I won't go down that slippery slope unless we can protect against some of the issues that Kimberly raised and legitimately.
Treasurer Grossman, stand by because I don't want to let you go just yet. We've got a couple minutes left, but we will be wrapping up this portion of our conversation about Massachusetts lottery and online lottery playing. And so I want to say thank you to Alexandra Berzon, Wall Street Journal reporter who joined us today from L.A. Alexandra, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much.
And Kimberly Young, a psychologist and founder and director of the Center for Internet Addiction, thank you so much for bringing your perspective into the conversation as well.
Thank you for having me.
Treasurer Grossman, the reason why I didn't want to let you go, we've just got about 90 seconds left, is since you are sitting here across the table from us, I am curious to ask you about another race, which will soon be in the laps of Massachusetts voters. And that is in 2014 when Governor Deval Patrick exits the governor's office there. Care to make any news here at Radio Boston? Are you interested?
Well, I'm not sure I'm going to make any news what I've said, and I'll tell you quite honestly, looking directly across at you, is that I am leaning strongly in the direction of running for governor in 2014. Look, the governor is the chief executive of the state. So what does a governor do? A governor lays out a vision for the future of the state, lays out a set of common sense solutions to our problems, pulls a great team together, executes, and then is held accountable by the media and by voters each and every day. And I've done that for 36 years. I ran a business for 36 years. I've run non-for-profits, political organizations, the Treasury for the last 2 years. So it's up to the voters to decide who they want, what they want in their potential governor. But I'm leaning in that direction. And managing and overseeing the finances of the state, putting the state's checkbook online, putting hundreds of millions into small business loans, that's the kind of thing that I think has had an impact. I'm proud of what we've done for the last 2 years, and we'll have more conversations about this in the future, I am
we
sure
We certainly
that.
Will. Steve Grossman is the treasurer for the state of Massachusetts. Thanks so much
Thanks,
for Megan. Joining us
Thanks
today.
Thanks so much for having me.
And listeners, continue this conversation about the possibility of the Massachusetts lottery going online. Send us your thoughts at radioboston.org. Stay with us. Up next, we'll talk about why the Baseball Hall of Fame didn't put anyone in the Hall of Fame today, and the latest in the Annie Ducan case. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.